in a sense, we had designed this in an open and transparent process. We had listened to the federal workforce. We had opened up the doors to the American people to help weigh in on these recommendations. So virtually everything you see in this document was in some way, shape, or form engaged through some of these open dialogues. So none of the information is particularly new. Perhaps the pace and the focus and the sort of the reality setting in that we were serious about this, and that's gotten folks excited.
Now, I have a detail question for you.
One of the directives
says to have three high-level data sets published through data.gov within 45 days. Now, data.gov is up to, I think, more than 100,000 data feeds at this point.
Sure.
Is there anything left to put on data.gov that's not there already?
Oh, we've just scratched the surface. I mean, this is what happens now. So you start with a foundation, which is let's build a platform that makes it as easy as possible for folks to consume government information in a more thoughtful way, a simplified way, frankly. Now we are meeting individually with cabinet secretaries. I've met with nearly a little over half dozen at this point. And you listen to their top priorities and say, gosh, to what extent might you have information that if you released could help advance that policy objective? And it turns out that there's actually a great deal. It may not be exactly in the format it was supposed to be in. It may not exactly cover the issue, so there's got to be some work. But now that we're tethering the information to advancing policy objectives, we're opening up a whole new conversation, and that's the intent of the high-value term in that part of the directive.
And you are getting feedback about the kind of things that will be posted. I've seen several agencies come forward saying that they are going to post various directives and information that gets frequently requested during FOIAs. What kind of information do you expect to be up there?
Well, first, I think it's important that every cabinet agency announced 24 hours following the launch of the directive and exactly one high-value data set, and in some cases more, already. And you're seeing them in several parts. I would say that part A would be sort of the accountability part. That is the degree to which they're providing information that folks would like to consume in order to assess the effectiveness of the given agency. I'd say there's a sort of outcomes component, which is we release this information in the hope that others will consume it to advance a policy objective. And then third, there are those who are releasing information that actually might spur economic growth. And those latter two categories are the areas that have been more, haven't gotten as much attention, but I think have great potential. Just as an example, Secretary Vilsack over in the U.S. Department of Agriculture has made a childhood obesity one of his top priorities. He released in machine-readable format a 1,000 food item database in machine-readable format and encouraged game developers. Actually, he released a challenge to game developers. Build me a game born out of these 1,000 food items from a food nutrition standpoint that will help educate kids between 9 and 13 on healthy eating habits. There's prize money associated, and I've already been copied on email listservs from game developers saying this is for the good of the country. We should volunteer to support this effort.
Yeah, which gets to the question overall, looking at the cabinet agencies that you mentioned that have released what it is they plan to put up, are you satisfied that they really are picking critical data sets that relate to policies that they want to advance?
I feel like a kid in a candy store. I mean, the data sets they've released are all very exciting, but are there more? Is there greater treasure behind the door? Absolutely. So we're just starting what we believe to be a culture shift here in Washington. Perhaps the first several months of the administration, this might have been a little bit of, is this the Obama administration? Is it a handful of people or a few initiatives here and there? Will this last? I think what you, if you take away anything from the directive, is that when this administration leaves and the next one comes in, this will last well beyond that transition period. We are focused on instilling the values here deep into the culture of Washington. And I think from the early take, and I guess you've spoken to agencies independently of my interviews, I hope they're starting to feel like this may very well be the path of moving forward and running business.
And you expect to be tracking this with a dashboard. So tell us how that's going to work.
Well, at the end of the day, what gets measured is often better managed. And so Vivek Kundra and I are going to design, with agency input, a dashboard that will be very clear to the American people what we expected out of the agencies and how well they've performed against their peers. Nothing gets you more excited than looking at how you're benchmarking against others to spur further activity. But at the end of the day, I think the message has already been heard. The agencies have all been very keen to support this. This is not about convincing someone of the value. It's a question of how far, how fast, and how much they can build the training and the capacity to respond.
Now, looking a little longer term, 120 days in this case constitutes long term nowadays, you have asked agencies to publish an open government plan on their websites. Beyond the data feeds and the simplicity of using those, what else, in your view, constitutes an open government plan for an agency?
I would say the biggest component, there are a lot of specific components outlined in the directive, but the biggest thematic component is around citizen engagement.